Good morning. So we're back to ordinary time. After a long break with Advent and Christmas, and it's a beautiful time for us to reflect as a church together on those 30 hidden years of Jesus, where he worked as a carpenter in Nazareth. We know very little about these 30 years, but that the Son of God chose to live a life of work and obedience in a small, remote village. Archbishop Fulton Sheen pointed out that if you look at the life of Jesus, you'll see that God took 3 hours to redeem the world from the cross. He took 3 years for Jesus to go about Galilee preaching the kingdom and calling all to repentance. And he spent 30 years in obscurity, being obedient and working as a manual laborer. That should show us the weightiness of a life of obedience and hiddenness in the Christian life. In light of our prolonged reflection as a church on the Incarnation, I'd like us this morning to reflect together on the second reading from the Apostle Paul that we heard proclaimed this morning. It's a bold message, beautiful, yet challenging. St. Paul points to all of us and says, your life is no longer your own. You belong to Jesus. Not only has our soul been made holy and our soul consecrated, but Paul is very clear. Our body and our soul have been made holy in temples of the Holy Spirit, because the precious blood of Jesus has anointed the doorposts of our bodies and souls. You look back into the Old Testament, into the book of Exodus, you'll see how God delivered the Israelites from Egypt and from the hardship that Pharaoh as a taskmaster used to abuse the Israelites as slaves, and how God put 10 plagues on the Egyptians to move their hearts to repentance. And the 10th plague, we all know, was that he took the life of the firstborn of all who did not slaughter a lamb and take the blood and anoint their door. Those who had the blood of the lamb above the lintel of their doors, the angel of death did not disturb their homes. All of us have been anointed on the doorpost of our souls with the blood of Jesus, the Paschal Lamb. Moses, the great prophet of the Old Testament and of the Israelite people, when he went up Sinai to make a covenant with God on behalf of the people, he came down with the law, the stones written with the hand of God, the finger of God. But when he presented them to the people had to agree and enter freely into this covenant. And when they did, what did they do? They slaughtered a lamb, and they sprinkled the people with the blood. Now you should be grateful that we just sprinkle you with holy water. But that blood symbolized that they had entered into a covenant through the sacrifice with God. You see, blood is a very important part in the scriptures of making a covenant, a pact. And you and I at every Mass renew this new and eternal covenant in the blood of Jesus. As we receive his precious blood into our souls, as our very lips are purpled with his precious blood, so as to be anointed and marked as belonging to him. The sooner that we begin to realize that our lives are not about us, The sooner that the joy of Jesus and the Holy Spirit can animate our hearts. The apostle tells us in his epistle that our bodies are not for immorality because they are holy. They've been consecrated to the Lord. How easy it is for us at times to forget the sacredness of our bodies and our souls as Christians. To give ourselves over. This is a great time to even begin now to prepare for our Lenten resolutions. To think ahead. Then a month we'll be entering into this great campaign of Lent, where the church goes on retreat for 40 days with Jesus in the wilderness. What immoralities do we have in our own lives? The purpose of growing in a moral life, the apostle is telling us, is so that our bodies and souls can glorify God. The moral life of the church and of believers is not about some rigid conformity to law or commandments, but it's about glorifying God with our bodies, worshiping Him in the way that He intended, to live, in other words, a beautiful life. Could you imagine if you made that a theme? I want to strive to live a beautiful life, a life that gives beauty to God and to the world. That's what the apostle is inviting us into. And he's saying immorality works against that beauty, that glorifying God who has purchased us. We're all prone because of original sin to the weaknesses of the flesh. Our bodies and souls are at odds because we are born with original sin. When Adam and Eve were born in a state of grace before the fall, there was complete conformity between their minds and bodies, and their souls rightfully ruled over their bodies. But one of the great effects and wounds of original sin that we inherit is that our bodies and our spirits are at odds with one another. Think about it. How quickly we make resolutions to noble ideals and tasks, but we find ourselves weak. That's because our body and spirit are not completely in conformity with the way that we were originally created in original justice. We tend to seek out bodily pleasures. I can look at my own life and just make a list. Gluttony. How many times I like in the evening to make that second or third or fourth visit to the refrigerator for that Rocky Road ice cream. Or how easy it is to binge on Netflix, especially with my smartphone now. I mean, I just watched 5 seasons of Merlin in, gosh, I don't even want to say because it's embarrassing. But I know that all of us can relate to this. Or our tendency to pull out our phones and have to play games to distract ourselves. All of that are, while not bad, they're manifestations that we're looking for meaning and things in bodily pleasures at times. But we know that ultimately these will not bring joy, but only escape. What brings us joy is that we have been made members of the body of Christ, that His Spirit has been placed within us. That this intimacy is so deep. I want to tell you a story. It's a true story. I heard it from the Sisters of Life. The sisters do some work on our college campuses in Fort Collins and Boulder with our campus ministry. And they recently were up in Boulder and they met Andrew, the sacristan, as they were going to Mass. And the sisters say that Andrew was a 7-year-old, 8-year-old boy with special needs. And he would help the priest every week set up for Mass and take down after Mass. And the sisters, when they met Andrew, they asked Andrew, "Andrew, do you pray?" "Oh yes, sister, all the time." "Andrew, are you close to God?" "Oh, yes, sister, very close to God." Andrew, would you consider God your best friend? Not quite. It's more like he's in me and I'm in him, and we're one. We're one. That young man grasped what the apostle is teaching. We do not lose our personalities as being made members of the body of Christ, becoming one with him. We continue to be ourselves, and God continues to perfect us to become the best version of ourselves that glorifies him. But nonetheless, we are one with Christ because we have been grafted on to his mystical body. Brothers and sisters, you, by your baptism, in virtue of having been incorporated into Jesus Christ, are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God knows it. The church knows it. Do you know it? Do you believe that you have been set aside to be a tabernacle of the Most Holy Trinity? Let's begin a time where we begin to restore the sense of the sacred and the reverence in our churches, in our worship of the Almighty God, and in our sense of living out our baptismal identities as adopted children of God. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.